The History Man with Terry Kringle.
Hello. There have been three battles in the Isle of Man which are historically significant. Firstly, Sky Hill in 1079 and Ronald's Way in 1275. We know exactly where and when they took place, but historians are not so sure where the third happened. I mean to say, where in the island is there a place with the unlovely name of St. Twat? But the Battle of St. Twat, which took place in 1098, does have historical resonance. It was fought between the Manxmen of the North and the Manxmen of the South, the Isle of Man's own civil war, you might say. And when the men of one side were losing, their women, who were watching, ran fiercely to their aid and turned defeat into victory. The trouble is, it's not absolutely certain which side actually won. Historical texts have mixed accounts of the Battle of St. Twat. But in 1927, a Manx historian called C.H. Cowley came up with a more likely sequence of events. First, he tried to establish where the battle took place. The name St. Twat is derived from the Norse for something like sandy ford, and he goes for a site between Peel and St. John's near the River Neb, not far from the eastern end of what is today Peel Golf Course. His view of the cause was a long-standing conflict between the descendants of the Norsemen, the Vikings, and the descendants of the native Manx Celts, and it was the latter who were the aggressors, and it was they who issued challenge to do battle. They were the first to go on the offensive and storm across the river. But the Northerners had the higher ground, and things began to go badly for the Southerners. At this point, the latter's wives, who had marched north with them and had a camp overlooking the action, decided to take a hand. They picked up stones and other kinds of improvised weapons and charged down with great ferocity. This rallied their men, and the Northerners were driven back in confusion and, it must be assumed, abandoned the scene. This can be seen as a victory for the South, for the Manx Celts. But it was a Pyrrhic victory. As Mr. Cowley says, there was a great slaughter of men on both sides, and this left the Isle of Man vulnerable to conquest from the outside world, because so many warriors, Celt and Norse, had died. Sure enough, this was pretty much the case. Shortly after the battle, Magnus Barefoot arrived off St. Patrick's Isle, with a huge fleet of Viking longships, and marched on St. Twat, where most of the bodies still lay unburied. Magnus buried them, and went on to establish a suzerainty over the island, which held until his own death in battle in Iceland 5 years later. As for Mr. C. H. Cowley, his article relies almost wholly on the myths about the battle, remembered by Manx people living near the battlefield for many centuries afterwards. They told him of bones of dead men, along with some stone weapons being dug up. There was also a place known to them as the Women's Rock, and also one known as the Hospital Field. Certainly one could well have been the southern women's camp, from which they charged so fiercely and so decisively for their men, the other a place where the southerners stopped to tend their wounded, before finally heading off home in defeat. Mr. Cowley's text is well argued, and his reasoning is convincing. His version of events is one which must be accepted, and it certainly is by me. But, unlike Sky Hill and Ronald's Way, there is nowhere up there by the River Neb, and I am really sorry about this, where you can find a road sign saying, "You are now entering St. Twat. Please drive carefully."